Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
As I said, Holy Spirit means a lot to me, and he's definitely changed my life. I know he's changed many lives as I talk to people about him and the things that he's done in our lives. I just think it's, he is, and the title of my message this morning is, he is the game changer. Now, a game changer is something that changes a situation in a significant way. That's a game changer. It's a huge impact. So this Wednesday night with the State of Origin, there's going to be a huge impact on Queensland, where Hayne is in and Thurston's out. That's a game changer right there, isn't it? Anybody follow the footy? Some. And I've got a, James, I've got a little slide up here. I'm wondering if you, if anybody can tell me what that is. No. No. You don't know what it is, do you? That's good. Huh? What is it? Close. Brett? Close. It's actually the first TV remote. It was called the Flashmatic Zenith TV remote back in 1955. And we take it so much for granted today, where we push the control on the and just change the channels on the telly. That was the game changer for that. Now, don't go to the next slide. Don't go to the next one. I want to give you, if you can remember, if anybody can remember this one, and I'll give you a clue. Blip, 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 bow.
Oh, dialer.
You don't know, do you? Go to the next slide. This is called Ari Pong. Oh, Did you get it, Pete? He got it. Pete got it. Ari Pong was back in 1972, was the first fair dinkum TV game on the telly. And now we have these amazing games that I can't even play. My kids play them, and there's no way in the world I can play them, or nor do I want to play them. Keith plays them. But it's amazing. Did anybody play that before? Yeah? The little dot just stays at one pace all the time. Oh, does it? Okay, don't go to the next slide. I'm wondering if anybody can remember the Dynatac 8000X back in 1983. I'll give you a clue. Motorola. Put the slide up. First mobile phone. There it is. It was the Motorola Dynatac 8000X. And do you remember they were like a brick? You remember carrying around a brick? And have a guess how much that phone was back then too, by the way, back in 83. $4,000 back in that day. That today that'd be like 12, 15 grand for this mobile phone. How much has that been a game changer? Like, I remember on just on the building site, just to be able to ring somebody to say, listen, I'm going to be late, or can we get the plumber? Can we get the electrician? Now we just take it for granted. That was the game changer. The next one, just put it up. Touchscreen. When did touchscreen come in? We'd all take it for granted. We got these smartphones with touch. Just push a button and it rings. A little bit more. 2006, right in between. Only 2006. Wasn't that long ago? Technology is going crap. That was a game changer. No longer did we, you remember, like if you had a number that was 9879 7 1, okay, you try and get the low numbers as your phone number. Now it's just like, and you're there. Doesn't matter. Okay, the last one. And the last one is the cloud. Does anybody know what the cloud is? Hang on a second. Hang on. Mum, do you know what the cloud is? Do you know what the cloud is? Oh, very good, very good. It's a memory. It's a place where stuff goes, and it's, goodness knows where it goes. I don't know. Do you know where it goes, Keith? He does. He knows where it goes. He can gain access to it. Have a guess how old the cloud is. We take it for granted today. Sorry? Few years. 2010. So it's been around for a bit longer than what we thought. But interesting. These are all game changers. And I want to say today that when Jesus came to the earth, he was a game changer. It totally changed the game. Not that the church is a game, but it was a game changer. It changed the world in a significant way. Look at everything that he did. He actually moved the goalposts from here to here. He healed the sick. He set the captives free. He healed the brokenhearted. And this was a new thing to happen. And he discipled his followers from the old covenant and led them into the new covenant. He went to the cross and forgave sin, past, present and future. But now Jesus is in his rightful place at the right hand of the Father and fulfilling Davidic promises. And Jesus says, just before he goes in John 14:16, says, and he will send you another counselor to be with you forever. The word another is the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S. And it means just like me, exactly in every way, in identical in speech, identical in thought, and in operation. So Jesus wasn't going to leave us alone. He was actually going to leave us with the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? And I think the number one in Christian circles, the number one game changer, and still is today, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. My experience of that is, I just can't think of anything that's happened to me since then. Yes, I've had heaps of touches from God. I've been healed of things, and they're all big things. But I think the number one game changer still today is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, seeing I've got the chance to, and it's a significant time and memory for me. In John chapters 14, 15 and 16, you'll read about the Holy Spirit. You'll see that at 19 times the Holy Spirit's mentioned as he, him or himself. And I think in summary, in chapter 14, 26, it says he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit now has the ability to teach you all things. Before, we didn't have many great teachers, but now we have the greatest teacher of all, and his name is Holy. in John 14:26, just in the same spot, he will bring all things to remembrance. So not only he is your teacher, but he will bring all things to remembrance. Who would love to be able to remember? What is it about the older we get, seems to be the less we are able to remember. But I know when you're in the Spirit, he reminds you of things. And he has this amazing ability to put something on your mind and you all of a sudden you remember it. Well, that's way back then. Where did that little archive come from? You see this little mechanical arm going, bring it out. And that's how my mind works. Sorry about that. That's how I imagine a thought comes to my mind. It's sort of like this little hand going somewhere and bringing it up to the surface. Bit like a flash-o-matic, really. In chapter 16 and verse 13, he will lead you into all truth. So not only does he teach you all things, he will bring all things to remembrance, and he will lead you into all truth. That's powerful. When you think about that, all truth. We're all desiring truth. What is the truth for this time and for this season? And what is God saying to us as an individual and us as a church? And there's the truth. And we know who the truth is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth really is a person of Jesus Christ. But he is a revealer of truth. And then 16 verse 13, he will show us things to come. So he will teach you all things. He will bring all things to remembrance. He will lead you into truth, and he will show us things to come, which is fascinating. And it's like a prophetic thing of things to come. What are the things to come in this season? I'm just laying a little bit of a foundation before I get into where I want to go. When we get born again, we have a Holy Spirit work, and it's called a regeneration. He comes on the inside. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and he creates a new creation on the inside of you. There's a regeneration on the inside of you. It's powerful. Many of us have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that regeneration process has taken place. However, with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's the game changer. It's now upon us. He is now upon us. It's like God takes everything that you are and the Holy Spirit and baptizes you into himself, into the solution of the Holy Spirit itself, and you're baptized completely, everything about you. And he is now upon us. So he's now in us and upon us. That's powerful. So it's everywhere. He's everywhere. He now becomes a game changer. If you just stay at the born again, yes, he's in you, and yes, you'll do mighty and powerful things. But without the anointing, without the Holy Spirit upon us to do the things that we do, it's just you. I'm sorry, but it's just you. And we need to be seeking further experience, a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to show a little bit more in Scripture this morning as we go along. I'm thinking of John G. Lake's technicians, healing technicians they were called. He would send them out full of the Holy Ghost and power to go out and heal people. And there was none any longer out than 3 days praying for people to be healed. He closed down a hospital. He closed down the pubs. He closed down all sorts of things. And it was an amazing ministry. Who would like to be on the ministry team? Being a healing technician? That would be cool, wouldn't it? Righto, you're heading out to pray for this person who has cancer and they're going to be healed. Either immediately when you walk through the door or even before you get there, or you knock on the door and they're healed, or you're there for an hour praying and they're healed, or in a day, all right, we're going to have a cup of tea, we're going to go through to 3 o'clock, okay, we're going to have a sleep, we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to go again. Who knows? We have to push in past the flesh, past these things to see it happen. It has been done. Who believes it has been done? It has been done. Sometimes it's hard for us to really confidently say that because we don't see it in our natural eyes. But we have to see it with our spiritual eyes and flow with the Holy Spirit. I've had the privilege of praying for numerous people and they've been healed. And I haven't done it a lot lately, to be honest. I've caught up with other things and that's a shame, because I know all of us have a different anointing upon us to do different things. So I'm not grouping us all. We all don't have to be healing technicians. Don't read me wrong. We have to, though, however, find out what Holy Spirit's saying to you to do to bring to further the kingdom in this place and in this world. What else did I have? Prophetic voices. I love the prophetic voice. Prophetic voice, Holy Spirit just speaks a prophetic voice over your life, and it can just absolutely impact your life. I've had a number of them, and what I'm doing now is actually writing them out and going over them. I don't know whether you've ever done that. I want to encourage you today. If you've had a prophetic word or it's lost on some tape or some ministry or something way back, try and get hold of it. Write it out. Some people now are putting all of their prophetic voice messages into a book. You can actually, you can go online and you can actually create your own book. Did you know that? Maybe that's a game changer for somebody. But you can go in there and for like $5, you can send them all the information, and it's hardbound, bound book, and says Anthony's prophetic words. Oh, thanks, Pete. Lots of blank pages. Well, yeah, at the end, I agree. Lots of pages at the beginning, but lots of blank ones at the end, because there's much more to do. And I'm believing that there would be prophetic words for us as individuals and as a church. Our words in season are amazing. They're dynamic. But we all know the scripture, Acts 1:8, yes? You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the number one attribute I believe that's coming from the baptism in the Holy Spirit is power. Often we've heard it being tongues. Tongues is very important. It's like the baptism in the Holy Spirit does come with tongues. So we should be desiring tongues. It's like a shoe. A shoe comes with a tongue. A shoe wouldn't be a shoe without a tongue. You can wear the shoe without a tongue and it doesn't look quite right, does it? So that's how I look at it. The baptism in the Holy Spirit comes with a tongue. You should desire it. You're still baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the number one sign, I believe, is a power-packed life. It's power. You will receive power. And that's that Greek word dunamis, which means explosion. That is a game changer right there. You become explosive for the kingdom of God into all the parts of the earth. Paul took it to Greece, Italy, and eventually Rome. That was his journey to the outer parts of the earth. You and I are taking it to the outback of Australia, to wherever, or to the farmers, or to your neighbour. Wherever God's telling you to take it to, you need to take it to. Has anybody got a heart for Aboriginals here? Yeah? Can you two just come down here, please? Just come down here. I'm just going to pray for you. Huh? My cuz. Cuzzy Ruth. And Cuzzy Meigs. We've got this.
Cool, because you were just touching me when you were talking, even though I'm pretending I'm not listening.
I know. Yep, that's okay. Holy Spirit draws us in no matter where we are. Father, I thank you for these two and for the desires that you've placed upon their hearts. Thank you, God, specifically, Outback Aboriginals, Australia. Father, I thank you, God, right now. Let it be unto them. Lord, you place these desires in our hearts for a reason. And Father God, I pray that your anointing would be upon them. Open doors for them to go. Open doors for them to speak. Open doors for them to be able to relate and to be and to show God to this generation. The people that were here before us, whatever they're called, Indigenous, that's the word I was looking for, our Indigenous people. Father, I thank you, God, for them right now in Jesus' name. Let that anointing be strong upon them both. Amen. Yes, amen. Awesome. That's good. And the other one that I felt, who has a heart for farmers? Could you come? I just want to pray. I want to come and pray. I just want to pray for the anointing to be able to spread the news to farmers. You know, farmers, they're like the salt of the earth, aren't they? You know, they can't often get to church. They can't go to church on a Sunday. They're either milking cows 24/7, feeding the crops. But we have a heart for the farmers. The farmers are like, again, they're like the salt of the earth. They're the kind of people that will do anything for you. If you ever rocked up to a farmer's house, which I have, in the middle of night, I got stuck in a canoe once, and I ran into a barbed wire fence, and it got dark, and I saw a light on up in the farm stay. And I knocked on the farmer's door and he said, "Oh, come on in, mate." I was getting ready for a big shotgun. He said, "Come on in, mate." And he made me soup and he didn't have a telephone or anything like that. So I had to somehow, I went to another neighbor or something like that. But farmers are the salt of the earth. They're amazing people. And God's placing his heart upon other people's hearts that would just bless the farmers. So, Father, I thank you, God, that you would just release that right now, that anointing for farmers upon these people, that they would be able to relate, that they would be able to care for, that they would be able to pray for, that they would be able to just be in a place that would affect farmers. However that would be, God, you place these things on our hearts for a reason. And so, Lord, I just thank you, God, as every one of these people pray for farmers, that, God, you would open doors, that, God, you would show yourself to the farmers. We love our farmers, the salt of the earth. Thank you, God, for that anointing. And the anointing's really strong out here today. It's really strong. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. So I'm not going to... Oh, wow, it's 20 past 11. That's interesting. That's a bad clock. Hey? Yeah, it does keep good time, doesn't it? We've done well. So I just got to be careful what I do right now. I wanted to talk about, obviously, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to show us this morning, and even if I just get this far, that'll be cool. You know, God was ministering to all the sets of people, all the kinds of people in his day. We all know about the upper room. We all know about the 120 in the upper room, and they all met on the day of Pentecost, and they waited for the Holy Spirit. There was 120. Now, if you, I want to show you a type and a shadow of this in the Old Testament. Is that all right? And I just think it's absolutely fascinating. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 12, we read about Solomon's temple being set up and the Ark of the Covenant being brought into the temple. So that's like the presence of God being brought into the temple. It's like when God came into you, his Ark rested on inside of you, Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And Solomon summoned Jerusalem elders and Israel to come and set this up. And now if we come down to, say 11, the priests then withdrew from the holy place. So they'd placed the ark in the holy place, and all the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions, and all the Levites who were musicians, whatever their names are, and their sons and relatives, stood at the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. And the trumpets and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals and other things. So here we see this amazing shadow of the breath of God through the trumpets. 120 trumpets were blown in the temple to the point where, and look what happened, accompanied by the trumpets and their voices in praise to the Lord, and they sang what? He is good and his love endures forever. And then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Wow. That is like a type and a shadow of the upper room. There was 120 people. There was like tongues of fire on their heads, but there was a wind that came through the place. It was like the trumpet sound came through the place, and they were never the same again. They were affected by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just think that's an amazing picture. Isn't it? I'm amazed at how God shows little snippets. He already knows the end game, the end picture, and he keeps putting these little things in for us to find. And I love how he does that. And in Acts, if we just come back to Acts 2 and verse 4, that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's pletho. It means to overflow. It wasn't just a filling, it was an overflow. So the cup is full and overflowing. That means everything, all happening. And so something happens in overflow. I don't know whether you've been in a meeting where the Holy Spirit's really thick and it's overflowing. It seems like, well, I'm full, but then all of a sudden there's something more coming out of me. The rivers of living water start to gush out of us, and I'm believing that that'll happen to us as a church. It'll start to gush out of us as a church, and I believe I'm sowing seeds here this morning in us for things like that to happen. Peter got into overflow in Acts 4 verse 8. He got into overflow. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, and that word filled again, if you look the Greek word up, is pletho, which means overflowing. So he wasn't in his own self. He was in overflow. So somehow he got himself into overflow. Need to think about that, because we are already filled, but there is a place of overflow. And I believe that's anointing. It's where you, whatever you would do to get to that place, it could be worship, it could be, I don't know, just being still in the presence of God, whatever it is, to get yourself into that overflow place in order for the anointing to come and to do what you would do. So Peter got himself into that place and he said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to the cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and God raised him from the dead." And so and on it goes. And then it comes to verse 13. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astounded and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Who knows? It's not about your ability. I take great comfort in that they were unschooled, ordinary people. And you can be unschooled and an ordinary person, and you can get yourself into overflow with the Holy Spirit, change the world. Absolutely change the world. And I'm believing that that's what we're going to do here in this place. There's many of us here. We don't really know what God's really going to do on somebody's life. I mean, how many Billy Grahams are here in this place today? How many John G. Lakes are here in this place today? They need to come through those doors. They need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and do those things. So, 3 minutes. It's okay. It's all good. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit, what he wants, what's the most important thing. The Holy Spirit was touching all different people. He touched the Jews, 120 Jewish believers in Christ in the upper room. In Acts 8:14, he touched the Samaritans, and the Samaritans were half Jews, half Jewish and half Gentile believers. They were 50-50s. And so in Acts 8:14, we read that Peter and John laid their hands on them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they did. So they had a Pentecost there. So there was a Pentecost in the upper room for the Jewish believers, a Pentecost here for the Samaritans. If we keep going to Acts chapter 10, there's a whole thing in there. There was a Pentecost for the God-fearers, Cornelius. And I've only just read this story. And I just think it's absolutely fascinating how God gave a series of visions to Cornelius, because he was a guy that was doing great works and feeding the poor and looking after people. And then God got his number and said, "I'm going to send a great man of God to you to minister to you." How cool is that? You know, right in the middle of what you do, God can send someone into your life that can just be like a game changer for you. Absolute game changer for you. And that's what happened to Cornelius. But then at the same time, God was ministering to Peter. He actually sent Peter. And God was ministering to Peter in a vision, gave him a vision of a blanket, and it comes down out of heaven with all of these different four-legged things on it, like rabbits and mice and all of those things, which they weren't allowed to eat. The Leviticus law told them they're not allowed to touch your lips. And Peter's really struggling with this vision of what the heck does this mean? And God says, "I want you to kill and eat." "No, I can't do that. That's just going to throw all my perfect religion out the door. You know, like I'm this perfect person." But God was saying, "No, I. In fact, what he was really saying was, "I want you to accept the Gentiles, because they saw the Gentiles as unclean." I think that's fascinating. And when we read, and we'll do that now because I just basically told you all of that. I summarised chapter 10 and 11 for you just then, right? So can we just go to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll probably stop there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. So you can see two classes of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier. We need to still destroy the barrier. It's still there. The dividing wall of hostility between people groups. And I believe it is being, that wall's being brought down. By abolishing in the flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So that was peace. Peace between the two camps was creating in himself one new man, one not a Jew, not a Gentile, but one new man. He's called, you and I are called one new man. If you are in Christ, you are one new man and woman, but just called one new man. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God, God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation, cornerstone, holy temple, dwelling in. Summary at the end. I just think that's absolutely fascinating that God was speaking to Peter about all of this stuff. He was saying, come on, Peter, I want you to get out of your old wineskin thinking. I want you to get into my mind skin. My mind skin of thinking. I want you to get into the that I'm accepting everybody. That would have been really hard for Peter because he was staunch in his ways. And often we get caught in our ways. We're caught on something and we stay on that thing. But God's saying, hey, I want you to listen to me. I want you to change. If he says change, would you change? If he really got hold of you and like he got hold of Peter, he got hold of Cornelius and he said, hey, like there was a lot of stuff in there. There was prophetic words and, he's going to turn up to your place with these guys. And he was up on the roof and he comes down and said, you've been looking for me. And they go, really? We've been looking for you? Like there's a whole theatrical story in there, which is I just think how God uses people to help us get free. Megan mentioned this morning the word freedom. It is. It's about becoming free. The wall of hostility has to come down in our mind. And we have to get his way of thinking. If we stay in the old wineskin, what's it going to do? It's going to burst. It's not going to survive. We need to get into his new way, the way of doing it. Amen? And then the fourth set of people were in Acts 19. There was just a group of Gentiles. Paul takes an inside track, bumps into 12 believers and said, have you heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, guys? No. What are you talking about? and he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit, and then he baptizes them in water. Like, I just think that's amazing. So I think that God really does get hold of us. His Holy Spirit does get hold of us, and I'm believing that there's just seeds being sown here this morning. I would love that you'd all fall out in the Holy Spirit this morning. That would be awesome, that we'd all just get caught up in the glory. I think that'd be amazing. You may not think it's amazing, but I would love that we'd actually start to see God move in this place, and I believe he is. He's moving in this place. You may not feel it, but he is moving in this place. And he does it through the foolishness of preaching. Peter's message was just the gospel. He just preached the gospel to them, and the Holy Spirit turns up right in the meeting. He's just saying, well, Jesus is good. You know, like if I just got answered, Jesus is good, he's great for you, and I just gave a gospel message and the Holy Spirit turns up. That's how simple it is. It's through the foolishness of preaching. It's through the foolishness of a guy standing up here, and just that some of his words will be like seeds that go deep into our hearts, and they will germinate, and something is going to come of good fruit. I remember my journey, and I'll finish with this. My journey of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I worked it out. I was 12. On the way to 13, and 12, I went with my mum and dad to a meeting, a Des Penny meeting. I've got it. Do you write things in your Bible at all?
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a whole stack of things in the front of my Bible, and I wrote it here somewhere. Here we are. Spirit filled, 27th of 5th, 77. Is anybody alive in 77? At a Des Penny crusade at Taree, and it was a Friday evening. I think that's a prophetic word. I think I'll have that the first thing in my book. I just think that's fantastic. You need to write these things and honour those, like they're like milestones in your life where you can point, that's right. I remember that vividly. Remember those moments where God grabs hold of your heart and he touches your heart. I never forget it. Never forget it. I can't remember a word anybody said. You may not remember anything I've said this morning, but the Spirit is the thing that touches your heart. There's a feeling, a touch, Holy Spirit hovering in this place. Even this morning, as I'm probably saying nothing right now, but I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to work on your heart here in this place. And I remember just being there, and I don't know, something compelled me to go forward to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think there was probably about 30 of people on the altar call for that. And the big thing then was you speak in tongues. And speaking tongues is good, and we should desire it. But really, it's, as I said at the beginning, I think the number one attribute is a demonstration of the power of God. If there's no power, what is it? It's just you. It's just you and your ability. The Holy Spirit, the reason for the Holy Spirit is for power and for works of service. And I went forward and I got the tongue. I wasn't desiring it. I wasn't even desiring it. So I just knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same again. And it was just like, that was a game changer for me. I wasn't on a very good road as a born again Christian of 9-10 months. I wasn't on a very good road. I was still breaking into houses and stuff. Stuff I still haven't told my mum about. But But the game changer was when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everything changed at that point. All of a sudden, I felt God's presence. I felt his anointing on me. I think that's when he's just started to grab hold of me and say, well, you're going to do great exploits for the kingdom. You know, I didn't have any great prophetic words spoken over my life at that time, but I knew God was speaking to me. And right down in my knower, in my knower on the inside, I knew God was doing stuff on inside of me. And I believe he's doing stuff on the inside of you today. As this guy just speaks to you this morning in a rather casual way. Could we just stand for a moment and we'll close. Father, I thank you for this morning. And we honour you, Holy Spirit, here in this place that has touched many of our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would continue us on this journey, no matter how we feel, whether we've suppressed the gifts upon our life or the things you've called us and asked us to do. I pray this morning that we would be reinvigorated today, that the seeds of hope would begin to germinate again. That Holy Spirit, as you just hovered over the earth, that you're hovering over this place in absolute expectation of great things to come. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just continue this amazing journey as we just be still and know you. Be still in just who you are. And we trust you, Holy Spirit, for the new thing, the new wineskin. It doesn't mean you have to roll on the floor. It doesn't mean you have to fall out. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means let the Holy Spirit grab hold of you for today. What is he wanting to do today in this new wineskin that's being developed now? This church is a new wineskin. And Lord, you're filling it. So fill us afresh this morning, Holy Spirit. Just see yourself being filled yet again to overflow. See him pouring himself into you this morning. Some of us are real empty tank. Takes a little while to fill. Some of us are already full and will go straight into overflow. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you have your way over this next season that we're all in together. Holy Spirit, have your way in us and upon us. A freshness. Just lay your hand on the person in front of you and just release the Holy Spirit. Or beside you, or in front of you. That's it. Just connect with somebody. And just we're just now going to just release the Holy Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, be free to move. Fill every vessel here. I thank you, God, for healing in these vessels and freedom and an overflow of the Holy Spirit and power this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Great to see you in church again and see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@ centrallife.com.au.